and the only woman in the race, casting herself as a fresh alternative to Mr. Trump, saying it was time to move beyond what she called his chaos. In the end, though, most primary voters didn't see it that way. This has been an SRN News special report. Nikki Haley bowing out.
As God calls us to serve Him, He calls us to study. Conservative Theological University provides studies on campus and online personalized distant education studies that lead to your certified degree. Earn your associate's, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. Please leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have a very special guest today, Congressman Mike Hill, the former representative for District 1 for the state of Florida. We're thankful that he's taken time out of his schedule to be with us and talk about this vital issue that we're speaking on today. We're talking about the vital issue of the Christian's vote and the conservative's vote. In 2020, I'm told, based on the researches, that some 40 million Christians did not vote. And yet, we find today there's so much division in relationship to what should be done, how should we respond. And now with the condescending philosophy that Christians that follow Trump and that will vote for Trump, that we're Christian nationalists, should that be embraced, or should that be looked at as demeaning? And we ought not to do it. I'm asking Congressman Hill, what is a Christian nationalist, Congressman, and how should we view that? I'm looking at an article I'll read briefly before you follow up. The Politico National correspondent made the audacious claim that anyone who believes our rights are derived from God is a Christian nationalist. She went on to say, the thing that unites them as Christian nationalists is that, listen, they believe the rights of all Americans, of all human beings, do not come from an earthly authority. They don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. They come from God. So, Congressman, it seems as though, and I've read several articles, she's tried to backtrack and says it was misinterpreted, taken out of context, et cetera, et cetera. But she's saying that if you're a Christian and you stand for God and country, and you say that our rights comes from God, that you're a Christian nationalist. What is your take on that? How do you respond to that? How should our listeners view that? Many, I believe, may be listening today that think, well, I shouldn't be a Christian nationalist. But what are your thoughts? What's your take?
Dr. Youngblood, I want to thank this young lady for coming up with that title, which I embrace wholeheartedly. Yeah. She thought she was being demeaning. She thought she was being derogatory. But in fact, that is exactly what we are, Christian nationalists. I read a book by Dr. Benjamin F. Morris. He spent 10 years writing this from 1858 to 1868. It's titled The Christian Life and Character of the Civil Institutions of the United States, where he documented in detail going back to the Founding Fathers' journals, as they were debating our Constitution and putting it together, and letters written back and forth throughout the legislative sessions that details significantly that the United States was founded as a Christian nation.
Yes.
When we say freedom of religion, we're talking about freedom to exercise the Christian religion. That was the intent, and that still needs to be the intent, because yes, that and that alone is what has made this nation so great and prosperous, is our embrace of the Christian religion, of Christendom, which is under attack everywhere, Dr. Youngblood, as you mentioned in the other part of the program. So this title of Christian nationalist, I will wear it proudly. You can put it on a hat, like the MAGA hat. You can put Christian nationalist on the front of a hat, and I would wear that. I'd wear it on a T-shirt. It is a badge of honor.
Amen. I'm looking at a headline, Texas pastor openly calls on Christian nationalists to impose their values on all of society. That was Dr. Robert Jeffers, First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. He goes on to say, it's talking about loving God and country, et cetera, having allegiance to God and allegiance to our country. He says, if that's Christian nationalism, count me in. He says,
that's right,
because that's what we do and we should do. And so what's so hypocritical about this? He says, the left does not mind imposing their values on our country through the election process. They don't mind forcing their transgenderism, their pro-abortionism, their open gay, open borders policy upon us, Jeffers said, but they object when conservatives and Christians try to impose their values on society. It's complete hypocrisy, end quote. So I agree with you. Congressman Hill, hold your thoughts for just a moment. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Gentlemen, how are you this afternoon?
Doing well, thank you.
Hello, Jim.
I've got a short statement on Nikki Haley. I personally, and probably everybody listening, watched that debate where the question was asked if Donald Trump was the GOP candidate, if they would support them. And I watched Nikki Haley raise her hand, along with the rest of them on that stage.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them, except for Nikki Haley now, has honored that promise. And it just shows the duplicitousness of this woman. I think she's ruined her political career by her actions alone. I can recall several times her saying that she did not say something, which just came back with video, like the Social Security being tied to social media. Then she came back and said she didn't say that. And I've clearly seen both videos side by side. So somewhere something doesn't match up. Also in Vermont, that was the only state that she did not take. She had, that's a open primary there. She had probably a majority of those votes come from Democrat voters.
Mm-hmm.
Her staying in the race, now I wanted to ask Representative Hill this question here. Her staying in this race, if I recall correctly, did two things. One is it keeps Donald Trump from being able to use federal money for his election process, and two, I'm not for sure when the candidates are supposed to be briefed by the, you know, the NSA, the CIA, the FBI. I know that those security briefings have to occur at some time during the election cycle, and I don't know if it's once they're declared or if it's once they are the candidate. So if you could clear that up for me, that would be great as well, sir.
Jim, that's a great question, and I'll have to admit that I'm not quite sure of that. I think it happens after the nomination, when they are clearly going to be the nominee for that party. That yes. being said, because of President Trump being an ex-president, he continues to receive briefings, sensitive briefings about issues of national concern. Of course, not at the detail that the sitting president does, but he does still have access to highly classified security briefings about our nation.
Okay, yeah. Jim? I was... Yes, sir?
Go ahead.
I did not know if that happened after the convention or after they were declared the candidate, so...
It's after the convention where he is locked in as the candidate for the party. That is correct on that. One of the things that I believe, if I can just throw this in and get your take and Congressman Hill's take on it, I believe that Nikki Haley, you know, she's already been courted by the No Labels Party. They have set up a pretty good, foundation. They do not have a candidate. My personal belief is that she's going to fall in the trap of accepting that position of being the candidate. She is so prideful. I believe she will take that to candidacy and try to run that. If that happens, that'll take about 10 to 15% of Trump's votes and about 20% of Biden's votes. And then, you know, there's still the candidate on the independent ticket, Robert Kennedy Jr., and he will take about 10% of Trump's votes and about 30% of Biden's votes. So it's going to be interesting to see the filter down of what will take place in November. And primarily, I'll say again, I sound like a broken record, Joe Biden will not be on the ballot for the Democratic Party come November the 5th. I believe they have, we'll talk about that further in a minute, but I believe they have all of the guns primed and loaded ready to remove Joe Biden and put someone else on the ticket. We'll talk about that and the dangers of that and where we're going with that in the next 90 days. I believe we'll see some major, major, major changes there. So, Jim, that gives more and more reason that we as conservative Christians and patriots need to stand for truth, stand for what we believe is the right candidate, and ask God to divinely intervene and place Donald J. Trump back in office for the 47th presidency. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that if the Democrats do that, they do this switch the last minute, it won't give us enough time to properly vet the candidate they put forth. Unless they start doing something here, or unless they've been doing something behind the scenes, it's going to leave very little time. Nikki Haley should just completely bow out, and she should be honoring her word when she said that she would support Donald Trump. If she runs as an independent, there'll be people out there voting for her just because they think that she's the better option. And quite frankly, she is not. She's Bush-like to me.
Absolutely. Congressman Hill, what are your thoughts on that just for a moment before we let Jim go?
Well, I agree with Jim that she needs to go ahead and bow out now, and we can see how hypocritical she is because she will not endorse President Trump at this time. Now, just as coming to her defense is a little bit, even though this is not a full-throated defense, Donald Trump just wailed on her during this entire time. And to be called bird brain and other things, you know, that is stinging and it hurts. And so it's going to take her some time, but I think eventually she's going to come around and go ahead and express support for President Trump. But I also agree with Jim. I think her whole political career is over. She can't be a part of a Republican run election at the state level or at the federal level. I think her career is over.
Jim, I think that is more incentive for Christians, conservatives, and patriots to keep praying, keep looking up, asking God to intervene and to do His will by that divine intervention for the preservation of our constitutional republic. Jim, thank you so much for your call, for your input. Spot on with your thoughts on that. Thank you so much for calling. I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go with your question or comment, please.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you two today?
Doing great. Thank you for asking.
Thank you for being on the radio today. Dr. Youngblood and the gentleman that's with you, I looked at some of the video of who Biden's son is, I know that there's been scandals in the White House and different things coming out about family members. But with his son dealing with people in like other places too, could that be, and his drug addiction and his prostitution and, you know, habit, could that be why other countries think we are ignorant and that we're not strong? And are we going to become a Hispanic nation?
Congressman Hill, I'll pitch that question to you and let you respond to Terry.
Hunter Biden is not doing this nation any favors at all. And asking the question is, are we looked upon poorly by other nations because of Hunter Biden? Yes, we are. But even if Hunter Biden was not in the picture, we would still be looked upon poorly because of the feckless leadership that we see coming out of the Biden administration. Joe Biden is way over his head when it comes to being president of the United States. He doesn't know what he's doing. He is simply listening to the extremists on the left, the globalists, and is following their instructions. He doesn't care about the U.S., like a number of other Democrats who are very wealthy, because they think they are immune to what is going to happen to this nation as more of the immigrants come across the border that they want to use as a voting base. And the reason why they believe they are immune, why? Because they live in their mansions. They're gated mansions that they are protected from. They don't need to leave. They can have their food delivered. They can have their medicine delivered. And when they do need to leave, they're protected. And we saw that when, I believe it was either DeSantis or maybe it was Governor Abbott who sent a busload of illegal immigrants to Martha Vineyard. They weren't there for more than a week before they were moved on somewhere else. And that's how the wealthy Democrats are going to view this entire problem. It's not their problem. They're going to be fine. They have their money. They have their exclusive little clubs and neighborhoods, and they're not concerned about the destruction happening to this nation. What we need to turn it around is God's grace and mercy. We need his favor. And President Trump said when he gets elected, we're going to see the largest mass deportation in history. And
all I can say to that is amen.
That's right.
Terry, thank you so much for your call, Congressman. Thank you. Thank you so much. I believe we have Dr. Davis on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, how are you today?
Good and great. Thank you. Thank you.
Very good. Very good. I just want to share just a little comment here that it's about time that this twisted perverted government comes to an end. I think everyone is shaking in their boots now because they realize that they're on the losing end. But I want to say to all the Christians out there that refuse to get out there and vote, whatever happens, if it goes from worse to worse, and you sit on your hands and don't vote, then you don't have a reason to complain. You're just going to have to go wherever the ship sails because it's your choice right now. If you get out and vote, then you got a voice in something you can change things and get things going in a better direction. But if you don't vote and things go from worse to worse, you don't have a reason to complain.
Dr. Davis, you're spot on with that. You've got to get in the game to play the game and call the shots, if you please. And I believe it's time Christians stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. Christians, conservatives, and patriots that we need to be a part of. The scripture says, Dr. Davis, you're familiar with this, and I see what the take is for Congressman Hill. Scripture says, Jesus speaking, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. He didn't say, I hope you can be. He said, you are. So as salt and light, we need to lighten, illumine the decaying, darkness and decaying society. And so it's time that we as Christians, conservatives, and patriots realize that our position, our relationship to the Lord, puts us in a position that we cannot sit and do nothing. We need to be involved in the process. Contrary to what many Amen. Pastors say, contrary to what many churches and denominational dogma might say, we need to be involved. It's time Christians recognize that we cannot just look on the outside, from the outside, and not be in the game and have any say-so in it. So, Dr. Davis, you're spot on with that. Thank you. Thank you so much for your call. And keep looking up today. God bless you. And we'll look to talk later. Congressman Hill.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Congressman Hill, I've got some questions. You know, Fannie Willis is, I say she's gotten herself caught in the fan. But are you familiar with that enough to explain to our listeners with the Fannie Willis case? And she's the DA in Fulton County, Georgia. What's the status of that today? What went awry? How did the train get off the tracks? What did she do wrong, if anything? And where do you think that's going?
Well, she made a huge mistake, Dr. Youngblood, by accepting the job of going after Trump in the first place. Mm-hmm. The Democrats put her up to that. They chose her specifically for two reasons. One, she's black. And number two, she's a female. So she meets two of the intersectionality, diversity, equity, and inclusion benchmarks. And they chose her and thought she was going to be safe, that she wouldn't be attacked because of that, or that she would be, if she was attacked, she would be protected by the Democrats and the leftist media. But what they are finding is that when you come against Trump, he has the wherewithal. And it wasn't necessarily Trump. It was one of the co-defendants who said, look, we're going to look into this Fannie Willis and find out what's really behind all this. And they're finding that she led a lifestyle where she was living off of taxpayers' money for her own benefit, where she and her lover were, which she paid with taxpayers' money, and he would then, they would take these lavish trips that he would pay for from the money that she gave him from taxpayers, and then they try to lie and say that she paid him back in cash. Tens of thousands of dollars she paid back in cash, and when they asked where did this cash come from, she said, well, I just keep it at home. That's not believable at all, and everyone knows it. But what they saw was, what we're seeing is that the whole case could be tossed out because of Fannie Willis. Now, what we should also keep in mind is that the same thing could very well happen to Alvin Bragg. It should happen to Letitia James, that sham trial that they did in New York with that sham judge who should be impeached, by the way,
yes,
for his
yes.
behavior. We're going to see them attack Alvin Bragg, and they're going to also attack Jack Smith. Trump has already, at some point, has done that, but expect the flame of that heat to be turned up as they go after these district attorneys who are nothing more than Democrat hacks. They're not trying to bring justice. They're just trying to take down President Trump because they don't want Christian nationalism to come back to the forefront.
Yes. In fact, I'm fascinated by the fact that here is Fannie Willis that was digging the pit for Trump. And according to Proverbs 26:27, she's dug the pit. She's now falling in it. There are a whole lot of things with that that's, as you know, different prongs of that case. That it's my prayer that they not only boot her off the case, that they also cancel her license to practice law, because one of the old cliches that was brought up in one of the hearings, and I watched most of the hearings, one of the attorneys for the Trump satellite person that was defending him said there's an unwritten rule in law that an attorney cannot lie to the judge. And that Fannie Willis has lied over and over and over to the judge. Here's a headline. Nats an ethics hearing that's looming for Fannie Willis. A court hearing that's to decide whether Fulton County Court Prosecutor Fannie Willis should be booted from the organized crime claims against President Donald J. Trump and others as awaiting closing arguments. Of course, this is before the arguments were and the closing. And now the judge has given himself 2 weeks, and a week's already passed. But in the interim time, Congressman Hill, and to our listeners, another person that I understand is in the DA's office in Cobb County, Georgia, and has come forth given an affidavit to the courts that she is personally knowledgeable of the fact that Fannie Willis and her lover were involved together since 2019, and yet she lied to the court, said it was not before, it was just after she had taken the case, and then paying her lover almost $700,000 of taxpayer money, and there are major, major, major issues. In fact, the whole case is fraught with crime themselves, with lies and deceit and deception. So it is my prayer, Congressman, that not only will she be booted off the case, but her entire office, the DA's office, be taken off the case. And if anything, a new setup, which will fall long after the election, November of this year. So it is my prayer that Trump will be vindicated. Because what they have done is primarily, when you look at it on the scope of the law, primarily what they are doing themselves, and as a result of that, that whole case should be canceled and it should go away, in my most humble opinion. And then the other thing, Congressman Hill, that I'll touch on to get your take on it, the Colorado, Secretary of State, I believe it was, let's see, the partisan, this headline says, Colorado official who led the attack on Trump is now facing a recall herself. A partisan election official in the state of Colorado, which took a massive blow from the Supreme Court this week in an attempt to cancel the 2024 presidential campaign of Donald Trump. It is Colorado Secretary of State Gina Griswold, a Democrat who became a major player behind the Democrat agenda to attack Trump and remove him from the ballot, likely now is going to face recall. The citizens of Colorado said, we want the option of making a decision who we're going to vote for, not you. So it is in the process for the people to recall the Secretary of State that tried to remove Trump from the ballot for the 2024 election. Congressman, I go back to the biblical issue. And that biblical issue that's recorded in Proverbs 26:27, he that digs a pit for someone else is going to fall in it. And I see that taking place across the board. And just as you said a moment ago, the DA Bragg and the case in Florida, I believe that we will see that future taking place in the same fashion. That's my prayer. So, Congressman Hill, in wrapping up our conversation today, from a Christian conservative patriot standpoint, what would be your advice, recommendation to our listeners? How should they respond? What should we do? How should we view this election? And what should our role be?
Well, the primary role, Dr. Youngblood, is to make sure we do get involved. You see, as Christians, too many have the impression that they're to be meek, they're to be mild, they're to sit back and just lead a quiet, peaceable life. And we should as much as we are able to. But when our faith is being attacked, when our families are being attacked, we need to step up and defend it.
Absolutely.
God gave us ways to defend it by wearing the breastplate of righteousness and carrying the sword of the Spirit. We should do all of that, and as Christians, embrace the idea of being a Christian nationalist.
Amen. Congressman Hill, thank you.
God gave us.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us today. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University.